A robber broke into a house and he was going through the jewelry box when he heard a voice say to him, "Jesus is watching you." Well, he looked around. He didn't see anybody, so he kept stealing the jewelry. And then he heard it again. "Jesus is watching you." So he pulled out his flashlight and he looked around, and there was a parrot. And he walked over to the parrot and says, "Were you speaking to me?" And the parrot said, "Yes." And the robber says, "What's your name?" And the parrot said, "John the Baptist." And the robber said, "What kind of an owner would give a parrot the name John the Baptist?" And the parrot said, "The same owner that gave that Rottweiler the name Jesus." Now, John the Baptist was the first prophet in Israel in 400 years. There was so much expectation. Was he the Messiah? Was he the Christ? And John answered them all by saying, "No, I'm not even worthy to loosen the straps of his sandals. I'm just baptizing you with water. But the Messiah, the Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." See, that's the difference. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was not the sacrament of baptism. Jesus would give us the sacrament of baptism. John's baptism was one of repentance. People would go down to the Jordan River, confess their sins, and then they'd be baptized in this ceremonial washing. But that was not yet the sacrament of baptism. Jesus would give us that when he would say to the apostles, "Go out into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus came to give us the sacraments. Baptism to give us sanctifying grace within our souls, the very life of God dwelling in us. And the Holy Spirit he would pour out upon us in our confirmation in a very unique and powerful way. The fire of the Holy Spirit. So John is saying, "No, I'm not the Messiah. The Christ will come. And when he comes, he's going to be holding his winnowing fan. And then he's going to separate the wheat from the weeds. The wheat will go into the barn. The chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire." See, a winnowing fan, it looks something like a big wooden spatula. You ever go to a pizza place and they're taking the pizza out of the oven? You ever see that wooden spatula? That's something like a winnowing fan. They would take those things and they would throw the wheat and the chaff into the wind. And then, the wheat would fall to the ground, the chaff would be blown into a separate area. Then they would separate. That's the winnowing fan, to separate the wheat from the weeds. The wheat goes into the barn, and that represents heaven. That the just, the holy, those in the state of grace, in the state of friendship with God, when Christ the Messiah comes, will go to heaven. The chaff, it says, will be taken and burned in unquenchable fire, representing hell. So the Bible is very clear, and the teaching of the church is very clear, that heaven is eternal, that hell is eternal. It talks here that it's unquenchable fire, a fire that never ends. So Jesus is very clear in Scripture about the reality of our final destination, heaven or hell. And when he comes again, we're either going to be wheat or we're going to be chaff. Advent season is a time to prepare our hearts so that we become the very wheat of God, that we become this wheat that will be then taken into the barn, which of course is heaven. Well, what should we do to prepare our hearts for Christ? Well, they asked John the Baptist that in today's gospel. They say, "What should we do?" Well, John tells us. He says, "Do the works of mercy. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless." John says, for example, if you have two cloaks and somebody else doesn't have any, give one of your cloaks away. If you have food and somebody doesn't have any food, give some of your food away. See, these are the works of mercy, of feeding the hungry, helping those in need. So these are works of mercy. So John says that this is how we should prepare ourselves to meet Christ, is be merciful towards others. And I'm so proud of this parish. All of you have been so generous. When we think of what all of you do, for example, take the Samaritans, for example. Last year you gave $45,000 worth of material aid to the poor and the needy in this area. Think of the House of Mercy, of all your generosity to the House of Mercy, of helping with giving of clothing and shoes and food to the needy. All of you that sponsor children throughout the world with your donations. The Giving Tree, for example, the hundreds and even thousands of presents that you buy for needy children at Christmas. When the Bonica Mission collection came up, all of you were so generous. The Knights of Columbus, all with 40,000 pounds of food that you donated. So week by week, month by month, you have been incredibly generous. I'm very proud of this parish. So keep that up, because that's what John is talking about here. We give our food to those who don't have any. We give some clothing to those who need it. So continue that wonderful Christian spirit of giving, the acts of mercy. And then the tax collectors came up to John and said, "What must we do?" And John said, "Stop collecting more than what's prescribed." In other words, don't cheat anyone. The soldiers came up and said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Well, don't practice extortion or falsely accuse anyone, or and be satisfied with your wages." So he's telling us not to grumble, not to complain. The soldiers would complain about their salary. John is saying, no, don't complain. Be satisfied with that. And don't falsely accuse people. In other words, live a life of honesty, a life of integrity, he's telling them. And of course, these things apply to us as well. No matter what our state in life is, we're called to do these same things. As we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the second coming of Christ, we do these same things. Acts of service, acts of mercy, and living honestly and justly in our life. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. I would encourage you to read the encyclicals by the Holy Fathers on the social teachings of the Church, social justice. These writings by John Paul II and Pope Benedict, and even the ones by Leo XIII over the centuries. In the last 100 years, there's been tremendous encyclicals written by the popes on the importance of caring for the needy, caring for the poor, and the importance of social justice. That's what John is talking about in today's gospel. Why should we do this? I think really the most important reason is what I mentioned at the beginning, that Jesus is watching us.